So now I'm going to ask Chad. Chad hasn't been here for a little while. Well, he's here last week. My son Chase sent me a quote from C.S. Lewis, and Chad's going to read that and then some scriptures. So I'll let you go.
Sure. I'll start with a quote from C.S. Lewis. Good and evil both increase at compound interest. That is why the little decisions you and I make every day are of such infinite importance. The smallest good act today is the capture of a strategic point from which a few months later you may be able to go on to victories you never dreamed of. And then you want me to read the... So then I'll read here from Luke 17, 3 through 21. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times, saying, I repent, forgive him. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted in the seed, and it would obey you. Which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come immediately and sit down to eat? But will he not say to him, prepare something for me to eat and properly clothe yourself and serve me while I eat and drink? And afterward you may eat and drink. He does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded you, say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done. While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now, one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, were not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. I got to look this one up. This is from Matthew, the next one. Matthew 21. 21 through 22. Here we go. And Jesus answered them and said to them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it will happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive.
Got it. In this life, we got a lot of battles. We got a kingdom of darkness, got a kingdom of light, and there's battles going on. And in the midst of that, you and I get to make choices every day. And, you know, I've shared this before, but I listened to an atheist once, and he got just emotionally aggressive, and he said, don't tell me we got free choice. And I thought, what in the world? I would think that's whatever, you know, what an atheist would want. Don't tell me there's a God telling me what to do. But he said, no, don't tell me. And having a free choice was just terrifying him. And he'd rather not believe in God because he didn't want to really believe he had a choice, that everything was just pre-programmed and there was nothing else he could do about it. And so free choice, or whatever you want to call the freedom that we have in Christ, is, as one guy said, a two-edged sword. And it's wonderful, but it's scary. And a lot of times you've heard the stories where they're trying to release a bird from being in a cage, and they're too secure being in a cage, or even a wild animal, and they just want to return back to it. But Christ our Lord created us in his image so that we can make choices, and so we could love him by choice or we could deny him by choice. And you know, we would like to manipulate each other. We'd like to force our kids into the right decisions. Amen. We'd like to save them from every heartache, you know, and not let them experience pain. But life is real, and it's real pain, and it's real victory. And so in this quest, why we're here on earth after we get born again, and I'll just allude to one thing, that the kingdom of God, you know, some think that's Jesus talking about when the kingdom comes, but he was talking about when the kingdom came right after he rose from the dead. The kingdom of God is in your midst. Really means it, the kingdom is inside you. All your answers are inside you. Everything that you need is already inside you. It's not out. It's not in heaven. It's not below. It's not out in somebody else's life. It's not from somebody else. Everything you need to be successful and everything you need to fulfill your life is inside of you. Here's the deal, kind of like what Dustin was sharing. If you're always going to be fidgeting with the bad weeds and you're going to be always wondering about why didn't that person get healed? Why did this happen? Why did I go? Why is this relationship bad? If you want to work on those weeds and play with them, they'll accommodate you and they'll take up your time. They'll take up your energy, and it'll be very, it sounds like it's very justified, and you can talk yourself into being a logical person. I'm just a realist. I want to know why these things don't work all the time. But I can just say this pretty confidently. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus and the good things, and keep going and keep going forward. You know, we're here today celebrating, you know, being in this nice building now. When we first built it, we just designed it kind of like a sheep shed because I grew up raising sheep. And in the middle of winter, when we lambed, you just need a shed because it's awful cold. And we didn't lamb in the spring when it was warm. We lambed in February, January, it's 20 below zero, so we had to have most of them in sheds. And I just always said we just need a building to, because it's a lot more convenient than a tent. I've tried them, but it's not the building that's the kingdom. If it's not the building that's church, it's us. And so in our endeavor right now, you know, to go forward and be successful, that's what we're here. We're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. From Genesis Revelation, God talks about us being successful, not what a lot of people say. So we come down here, and these 10 lepers come out. Now, leprosy is a really nasty disease, as far as I understand. It'll affect the sheathing on your nerves, and et cetera. So a lot of times when you got leprosy, you don't have any feelings in your hands. You don't feel pain. Which for some people, they'd say amen, hallelujah. But obviously with not feeling pain, bad things happen. Literally, a man with leprosy can put his hand on the stove and it can start cooking their hand, and they don't know it until they see the damage. So these 10 lepers come out, and obviously they heard about Jesus, and they heard that he did heal, and so they came. And when you got leprosy back in that time, you had to stay away from the crowds. You had to be so much distancing then, didn't we, huh? COVID's not a new thing. I mean, it's so they would have to yell, unclean, unclean, so that people wouldn't get caught because it was very contagious. And so these 10 lepers were crying that out, and Jesus came up to them, and they came to him, and he said, go show yourself to the priest. So what that meant was, if you did get cured from leprosy, you had to go to a priest and have him check you out. They were kind of like the medical people at that time. Check you out to make sure that you really were cleansed, you know, that you were not contagious anymore before. And then they would allow you then to now be joined back with your family, joined back with society. So the Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. And I've used this word over and over in my life for myself and for others. In fact, somebody just called me this week, not knowing where they're going to go. They lost their home. They didn't have any place to live. And I finally just said, well, get in your car and head east. And as you go, there will show up. And there you'll find God's provision. So pray with me and believe that they're going to find provision. But as you go, so many times we've just shared this word with a lot of people, you know, listen, as you go to the doctor, as you head out, as you go, whatever, and many times, sometimes when I was leaving for trips, a lot of times I would be fighting something and I would just say, Father, I'm going. As I go, I believe I'll be healed. And I tell you, that helps because now you're proactive, now you're moving forward and not just sitting there like the lepers in another story that just said, why should we just sit here and die? Let's go see if the army will take care of us. And you know that story, or look it up. It's a really great one. So as they went, they were healed. The Bible says they were cleansed. They said they were healed. And then Jesus said, one of them returned. And Jesus said, you know, weren't there 10 of you guys that were cleansed? Where's the others? And then he said, you know, and the one that came back was actually a Samaritan, which the Jews didn't respect them and didn't honor them. And so that was a message to the Jews. For me, it's not that big a message. I don't know how you feel about it, but I don't think that's the point of the whole thing, was that it was a Samaritan came back. I think the point for us, for me, is he came back as... He didn't just come back and say thank you. He came back, fell on his face, and glorified God. What does that mean? Well, glorifying God is a little bit different than just being grateful. So we've prayed for a lot of people through the years, and we've seen people unsaved get healed. I've told this story before, but over in Burma there was two young men that came to our meeting, and one of them had this growth on his neck and was like the size of a golf ball, and it was very evident and very hard. And he wanted me to pray for him. And I reached up and touched it, and it's like he had a golf ball right there in his neck. And so I just I laid my hands on it and just said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to dissolve and be gone. And lo and behold, it dissolved and was gone within 5 seconds. I mean, I reached up, it was gone. His friend was sitting there looking at it and pushing on it, and they finally started pushing all around his neck, and they were looking at each other, and the one that got healed was looking at his friend like, what is going on, you know? They didn't speak English, by the way, so I didn't know what they were saying. Anyway, he was just gone like that. Well, they weren't saved. In fact, they came to the meeting to discredit us. They were Muslims, and they came. We found out the next day they came to the meeting, came up to me after the meeting because they wanted to be able to go out and tell the public, you know, we had that preacher they have up there. We had him try to pray for us, and nothing happened. That's what they were looking for. They did not want the healing. They wanted a testimony to discredit us. By the way, when I prayed for him, I was really mad. I wanted to go to the hotel. I didn't want to do it. And I was beating myself up for that. But anyway, that's another story. My flesh, I just thought it was my flesh that didn't want to pray. But it was my spirit man that knew these people came with the wrong motive. Here's the deal. They still got healed. And I don't know if they're grateful at all because their plan fell through. But you can get healed, not believe in Jesus, not surrender your life to Him. You can get healed, and you can be grateful for that. And that's what the other nine, they didn't lose their cleansing. But one came back, and he didn't just say thank you. He came back and said, I acknowledge that you are God. Bowed down and worshiped Him and honored Him. What did he really honor? What's really powerful about that to me is this man was persuaded in his heart that Jesus was truly God and that his nature was good. And he acknowledged, you are good and I worship you and I bow down before you because I know who you are now. And Jesus says something I think So profound. He said, stand up. Man, I love it when the Lord says stand up. A lot of times when we pray for people, especially over in Asia, they'll say, will you pray? And I said, yeah, sure. And they'll kneel down, and it's okay. You can pray in any position you want, upside down, sideways. It doesn't matter. But what I love about Jesus, he never says, will you bow down there and I'll be on top of you. He always says, stand up. I want to look you face to face. You know why? Because we are created in his image. The kingdom of God is inside of us. He knows that. He respects that. That's what he sees. You and I see our flesh and we know our failures and we think, and he knows them too. But, you know, Paul said it this way, I don't want to know you in the flesh. I want to know you in the spiritual man. I don't even care about that. What we're just saying, ignore some things. Yeah, we're still in the flesh. But we are still in the flesh. We shared on that the other day. But we are also spiritual beings. We have the Spirit of God inside of us. And when Jesus wants to talk to us, he wants us to stand up and look face to face. He wants to come up boldly and confidently. He doesn't want us to come in, you know, with these shallow little voices. I'm so sorry. I'm so unworthy. He wants us to stand up. Why? Because we believe in him, that he is, his nature is good, and that he has done an awesome thing in making us his children. Hallelujah. He said, stand up. Your faith, your persuasion, your deduction from hearing and seeing has made you what? Whole. Now, the other lepers were cleansed. They're now free to be around public again. But you know, one thing leprosy does is eat you. So a lot of times you don't have fingers. It just starts eating you. You're missing parts of your ear and all that. And so we don't know this, but it could be those other nine took off and they're now cleansed. They could get back in society, but they're missing parts. I believe, this is my opinion, I believe when that Samaritan came back and glorified God, he said, your faith, that's really important. This is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, speaking truth. He said, you stand up and your faith has made you sozo, saved. Sozo, we've talked about over and over. It's a wonderful word. It means you're delivered from sickness, disease. You're delivered from poverty. You're delivered from anxiety. You're delivered from all these negative things. You are you're now alive. You're no longer dead, and you're healthy. You're strong. And he said, your faith has made you sozo. The other nine didn't get that. I believe if he was missing any parts, they all came back. I believe if his fingers were gone, they grew back. I don't know. We don't know. But just the words itself is powerful that a lot of people reading that might not get. You're not just cleansed. You're not just, you know. And that word cleanse is the same word that we use when we talk about being forgiven from sin and cleansed from sin and cleansed from sickness and disease, or cleansed from guilt and shame. So when we come to Jesus, he cleanses us. But what we get the opportunity to do is to stand before him because of what we've heard and what we've seen and what we believe and say, I believe you are the Son of God. And he says, therefore, you have the power now to become a child of God. Exercise your power. You know what he talks about earlier at Chad read about the servant that master came in and the servant took care of him. Look at that in another light and just see how it rings with you. But look at it as saying this. Faith is your servant. Faith is your servant. I use that verse in a couple ways. One, I just say, listen, faith is my servant. In other words, I'm the one that gets to stand up and exercise my faith. Jesus said, if you have faith in God, what can you do? Speak to the mulberry bush, and he'll obey you. So no longer is it just Jesus, you know, healing us. It's Jesus placing his kingdom inside of us, and we learning how to walk in that kingdom, exercise our, because we believe in that kingdom, because we believe in the truth of it, we now have the authority That's why you got to stand. Take your position. Standing means position. I don't know why, but this just popped in my head, so I'm going to share it. Back when we were trying to decide to find a building here in Sturgis, South Dakota, way back in the 80s, South Dakota, Sturgis is a strange town. I mean, I don't know if you ever noticed that. Every town's a strange town. Every town is weird. But with us, we got this motorcycle rally, right? So people have buildings all over this town that are only used for a few weeks every year, right? And so trying to get a place to rent was like, oh my gosh, we could not find a place. And so we kind of had a church meeting down the bottom of Philtown in the hotel there. And we had a couple strong guys. They're both in heaven. Hallelujah. I'm sure they've forgiven each other now. Boy, they just always wanted to butt heads all the time. And I was sitting down and I was letting another elder run the meeting, kind of talking about this. And about what we're going to do. And one of these guys got up and just, well, we need to do this and this. And then the other guy stood, you know, and, we need to do that. We don't need to do that, you know. We got a little heated, you know. Never happens in church groups, right? Everybody stays peaceful and calm, right? And so it was getting a little heated in that room. And then I'm looking at the elder who's running the thing. And all of a sudden I see that he's going, woo. He looks at me like, what do we do now? And I stood up. And when I stood up, they sat down. Now, I'm not trying to brag. I'm not trying to say anything, but God called me and gave me the responsibility. And when I needed to, I stood up. They both loved me enough. They both saw the call of God in my life and stuff. And I didn't have to scold or nothing. They sat down. What I'm trying to say is when you stand up, the negative field has to bow. The name that is given inside you is more powerful than any name here on earth, any sickness, any disease, any problem. But here's the deal. If you don't stand up, if you don't take your rightful place of authority, if you don't, and part of that standing up is now you got to pull your sword out, and your sword is the word of God coming out of your mouth. You got to speak to it. We listened to one of those healing school testimonies, and a guy had a little cancer right here, just a small, right? Remember that? That's pretty graphic, wasn't it? And he had it, and they went to the doctor. They wanted to cut it out, and for some reason, he just said, I don't think so. I may have this wrong. You guys can watch it again. But anyway, and it's kept on growing. And he was a Christian. He was believing. But he really didn't understand the authority he had. He didn't know how to exercise his faith. And then he got listening to Andrew's teaching. And Andrew's teaching what I'm teaching right now about you got to stand, you got to speak, you got to speak to it. And so he and his wife just decided they weren't going to do anything else but just speak to that thing and said, you need to die. You need to leave my body. This thing began to grow. And they got pictures of it, real live pictures of it. And it was a lot of years. I don't know, wasn't it, 7 years or so he's had this thing. It got so big it was like this up here, you know, and he was putting diapers on it because it was ooze out. I mean, it's a raw, like a hunk of meat there. I've been finding a little thing in my nose, if you notice. Everybody says, what's wrong with your nose? Probably a little skin cancer or something. I've been working with it. But man, you know, when you got something like that, I feel like Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer lately. I mean, it's not very big, but it's like everybody's looking right at it, you know. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I got to get hats off to this guy. He bandages up and it oozes all day long, and he goes to work and everything else, and he just kept speaking to it for years. And slowly it started going down. And then it started speeding up and going down. And today you can't tell that it's there. It's all gone. I was talking to Jill and Charlie about it because they know him real well. He's just a typical Joe, you might say, Nothing heroic about him at all. But he just said, I believe in the God that he gave me authority. And I stood and I just kept speaking to it. You know, sometimes we want to say, well, what if it didn't work? Well, what if it didn't work? Listen, there's plenty of things going to take us out of here. Amen. I mean, in some ways, you know, people find out how long I've lived. I mean, how long my parents live in our family. And they go, oh, you're going to be around for 100. You know, you'll be over 100. Well, I plan to. Yeah. But, you know, I just always say, yeah, but if I step out in front of a semi, I don't think that all those genetics are going to do anything. I'm going to be dead. And I say that for a reason. I'm renewing my mind of saying, I will not live in fear of death. Because now I'm not standing. Now I'm not persuaded that he's good. Now I'm just, fear is the absolute opposite. And I tell you, sometimes I'll just say, man, if I went home today, hallelujah. I got so many good friends up there. My grandparents and my parents, everybody. You know, what a great day that will be. But they can wait. We need to finish our race. We need to fight the good fight of faith for the sake of others. And we need to stand up, worship him, glorify him, speak the truth, and don't stop speaking it. Don't try to pull up everything that's negative in your life. Ignore it. Stop judging everybody else. And that quote from C.S. Lewis, do some small little things and you can't believe how big some things are going to pop up because you took care of little things as you went. Praise God. Father, we want to just thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus, that you are a good God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so what you said to that leper, you say unto us, stand up. Your faith has made you sozo, prospering, free from anxiety, living in peace, living in joy. The kingdom of God is righteousness, joy in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And we just thank you, Lord Jesus, now that we worship you, adore you, ascribe to you that you are one wonderful God that absolutely loves us and adores us, paid the price that we could never pay, and granted to us the free gift of righteousness and of grace and of the kingdom, and the kingdom of God is power. And as we walk out, we thank you for all the miracles we've already seen and transformations, not just in physical bodies. We thank you for that. We thank you that there are people in here that when they first came before you, Lord, they were broke financially, and now they're blessed. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that this building is here for us because of your goodness. But now we stand before your throne one more time again, and we're going to do it day by day, moment by moment, and we're going to declare the glories of God. We're going to honor you and glorify you as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and our Master and our Savior, our Healer, our Provider. And we declare with our mouth what we believe in our heart, that we are victorious in every pursuit that we take on. And when we speak to things, they have to obey. For the righteous man lives by faith. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father, as we go. We're going, we're walking, we're talking, we're living, we're breathing. The kingdom of God inside us. And it's coming out and touching the world with your light, your glory, your truth, your nature, and people are being drawn to Jesus day by day and coming to the knowledge of God. We worship you, Almighty God. Amen. Amen. Have an awesome week. Speak to a bunch of stuff, will you? God bless you.